From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message with the title, The Holy War of Sanctification. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Power to Raise. The text is from Psalm 146 and verse 8. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. Am I bowed down? Then let me urge this word of grace before the Lord. It is His way, His custom, His promise, His delight to raise up them that are bowed down. Is it a sense of sin and a consequent depression of spirit which now distresses me? Then the work of Jesus is, in this case, made and provided to raise me up into rest. O Lord, raise me for Thy mercy's sake. Is it a sad bereavement or a great fall in circumstances? Here again the Comforter has undertaken to console. What a mercy for us that one person of the sacred Trinity should become the Comforter. This work will be well done, since such a glorious one has made it his peculiar care. Some are so bowed down that only Jesus can loose them from their infirmity, but He can, and He will do it. He can raise us up to health, to hope, to happiness. He has often done so under former trials, and He is the same Savior, and will repeat His deeds of loving kindness. We who are today bowed down and sorrowful shall yet be set on high, and those who now mock at us shall be greatly ashamed. What an honor to be raised up by the Lord! It is worthwhile to be bowed down, that we may experience His upraising power.
Overwhelmed by His mercy, amazed by His grace, I am cleansed from all sin, every sign, every trace. Jesus left heaven's portals, Himself to abase. I'm overwhelmed by His mercy and His all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender relief. When sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by His mercy and His all-sufficient grace.
I will rest in His keeping each night and each day. I know that He's leading each step of the way. Though the valleys of sadness at times I must face, still He comforts all heartaches with His all-sufficient grace.
God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender sorrow and laden with grief.
grace. Oh, what love God bestows upon all who believe. He will free you from guilt when his Son you receive. He has promised to keep you, prepare you a place, if you'll take of his mercy and his all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief. When I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by his mercy and his all-sufficient grace.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Text for this message is Joshua chapter 17 and verses 17 and 18. By this point, the children of Israel had completed the conquest of Canaan. Yet each tribe still had to possess the land that had been allotted to them, for in each case pockets of resistance remained. In our text, Joshua exhorts the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, saying, "Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong." In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is applying these words to the Christian life. Those who truly know Christ as their Savior still have to battle against sin throughout their earthly lives. These are the Canaanites, whose presence is a source of grief to every believer. Some are deeply entrenched, symbolized by the iron chariots, and great effort is required to drive them out. The command to Israel was, "Drive out all of them." So it must be for the individual child of God. There must be no toying with sin. Rather, the believer is to flee from it. We are in an unremitting war against sin. Yet, as the text intimates, the Canaanites could be driven out. The power of Christ is more than sufficient for this battle. Obviously, victory is possible only as we stay close to the Savior. Now, to continue this message, the Holy War of Sanctification, here is Dr. Cairns.
There are sins which are particularly strongly entrenched. There are sins which present a particular threat to individuals. Let every man among us, let every woman among us know himself or herself. Know yourself. Paul said to the Hebrews, "Let us lay aside every sin and the weight," or "every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." He may well have been speaking of the sin of unbelief besetting us all, but I think there is also in that command of the apostles, there is the thought. Every one of us needs to understand there is a sin or a series of sins which are more likely than others to overtake us. There are sins that may present a terrible problem to you that present no problem to me at all. I am not going to be tripped up by drugs or alcohol. That's not a problem for me. I'm not going to get hooked on the tobacco weed. It's not a problem for me. Even as a teenager, I could never understand why grown men would want to give away good money just to see it go up in smoke. It did seem to me to be one of the rather more crazy things. But then you see, the things that would be my problem may not be your problem. The things that would trip me up are things possibly that would not trip you up. Though there are some of you, and I think you can well appreciate what I say, because I know there are others here who are just as bad as I am in this. I have certain books I've told you before, and I allocate them to when I'm on vacation, because they're rather large books. They take a long, long time to read, especially if you read at the speed at which I read. Joan and I are reading a letter together. She's in about page 4 before I'm at the bottom of page 1. So I daren't allow myself to read those things on an ongoing basis, because they would become sin to me. They would keep me from reading God's Word. They would keep me from prayer. They would keep me from preparation. They would keep me from going on with God. So that things that in themselves are perfectly legitimate would become a snare of the devil. We all have our own particular weaknesses. Things that, like a long garment twining itself around our legs and tripping us up and stopping our forward progress. Lay aside every weight and remember to pay particular attention to that sin which easily besets you. Know yourself. Know yourself. The converted alcoholic should not say, "Well, I thank God I'm converted, So I don't need to worry and go and put himself in the place of danger where the stench of alcohol is in his nostrils and where there are some of the devil's fools sticking the devil's liquor under his nose and trying to get him to drink it. He shouldn't do it. The man who's been saved out of drug abuse shouldn't put himself back into that place where the temptation is set before him. The person who's been saved out of an immoral lifestyle should thank God, but he should walk very carefully and very purely and keep himself out of that. Not expose himself, whether by magazine, by newspaper, by television, by radio, or by anything else, to the impurities which are everywhere around us in these days. Many years ago, from the firm that supplies us with our copying material, a copier and all that goes with it, the young man come to do this service. At that time, the copier was in my office at home for the very good reason we didn't have an office at church. And he came in and we got to talking, and he told me his testimony. He was a saved fellow. He said he'd been saved for, I forget, it was either 10 or 12 years. And as we were talking, he was saying about one of the great difficulties of his job. He liked his job. He was able to get around and go to various places and meet various people. But he said, there's one thing that I have difficulty with. He said, I go into many of these places and they're blasting rock music at me. And he says, maybe to you that doesn't do anything. But you see, he said, for years I was deep into this stuff. It was my whole life. Controlled me. God has saved me. He said, but every time I hear that old stuff that was so much my life in the old days, it just brings back all the associations, all the filth, all the wickedness, all the sin. It's a big problem for him. I'll tell you. In his position, to me, that would have been, if I'd been in his position, that would have been such a problem. I would have changed my job rather than continue. Now, it's easy for people like me to say to him, clap on the back and say, hey, the Lord will give you victory. I never did listen to the stuff. It's not because I'm not a great musician. That may be one reason why I didn't, but as a young Christian, I well remember the first time the Beatles came to Belfast. Actually, I was teaching Joan to drive, I think. And we were driving along and I saw this big sign up in a Cinemax, it was at that time, downtown Belfast. They were coming for this live performance of the Beatles. Now, by this time, by the time they got to Belfast, they had to be world-renowned. I mean, they didn't come to Belfast just on their way up. They had to be world-renowned by the time they got there. I looked at it, I thought, this is some new kind of insect. Who or what on earth are the Beatles? So you can see, I wasn't big in the stuff at all. So it's easy for me to say to him, oh, God will give you deliverance. Yes, God will give you deliverance. But when you put your hand in the fire, don't ask God to stop your hand getting blistered. If you don't want it blistered, keep it out of the fire. There are certain sins that have a particular fascination. And it's very easy to temporize. It's very easy to explain these things away. It's very easy to come to terms with our sin. We are called to unremitting war against sin. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12, O man of God, flee these things. That's the first thing. Flee. You know what's wrong with so many Christians? You know why they're backsliding? You know why they have no spiritual power in their lives? It's because they're dawdling in the presence of sin. They're hanging around the scene of sin. They're laying themselves open to the attacks of sin. Paul says to Timothy, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I want you to see the order. You cannot follow Christ unless you're fleeing from sin, for they're going in opposite directions. You cannot follow Christ unless you're fleeing from sin. And if you're not actively battling your lusts and your temptations and your wickedness and your inborn sin and all the things that would hinder you from going on with God, if you're not battling against your sin, if you're not running from sin, then you're not following hard after Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Flee these things and follow these things as you follow Christ. Is it easy? No, it's not. Beware of these people who tell you sanctification is a very easy thing. You make a decision, you walk an aisle, you get a second blessing, suddenly bang like that there, you're sinlessly perfect. Those people are lying to you. It's not true. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Do you notice this? If you're going to flee those things and follow those things, you'll have a battle in your hands. Fight. But how do you fight? Not in the flesh. Not with willpower. Fight the good fight of faith. In other words, it's what I have been saying for years in this pulpit. Let what you believe concerning the gospel determine how you live. Get your eyes on Christ who died for you and who rose again for you. Let Christ fill your heart. Let Christ fill your mind. Let the faith of the gospel be that great compulsive power within you. And as you believe Christ and take your stand on Christ and His victorious work, you will have power to flee this and follow this. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Could I paraphrase that? You say you're going to heaven? You say you're called to glory? You say the highest point of your existence for all eternity will be to be conformed body and soul to Jesus Christ, sinlessly perfect? You tell me that is your calling from God, and that is your joyous expectation, that you're living in anticipation of eternal glory? Is that what you say? Then, says Paul, here and now, lay hold of this, because if sinless perfection for all eternity is your greatest joy, well then start battling sin now. But don't kid yourself that you're looking forward to be sinlessly perfect if you're quite happy to be as sinful as you can get away with down here. No excuses. No pet sins. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. This is a call to comprehensive holiness. Paul prayed for the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. That's why the epistles call for holiness in personal life, holiness in family life and family relationships. And Peter says, if they're not right, they'll hinder your praying. Calls for holiness in church life. Calls for holiness in public life. This is comprehensive holiness. What is the message? It's the message Joshua gave to the Israelites. The Canaanites should be driven out. There's a second strand to that message. It was that the Canaanites could be driven out. Not only should they be, but they could be. The text was a message of comfort. The Lord intended Israel to enter into that inheritance and enjoy it. And His grace and His power were enough to deal with the foes. And that's His message to us. Time forbids that I pursue this at great length, but let me make the statements very clearly. Holiness and victory over sin are the birthright of every born-again believer. Paul told the Romans in chapter 6, verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin will not be your Lord. Christ is your Lord. No man can serve two masters. In 1 John 5, verse 4, the apostle says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It's a plain statement to which there are no exceptions. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the birthright of every Christian.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.